Welcome to the Burgess Shale Story, a Canadian Rocky Mountain Parks World Heritage Site program on Park Radio. Listen as we explore the Burgess Shale, a rare glimpse into the half-billion-year-old fossil lineage of our most ancient forebears. And now your host, Brian Binden.
The Burgess Shale fossil find near Field, British Columbia, in Yoho National Park, has been said to be of the greatest significance. Wherein lies this significance? Dr. Simon Conway Morris, author of The Crucible of Creation, The Burgess Shale and the Rise of Animals, and professor of evolutionary biology at Cambridge University, England, states that the significance lies in the fact that the deposit provides an exceptional understanding of a particular aspect of the history of life. This is of the Cambrian radiation, the explosive diversification of animal marine life 500 million years ago, the likes and scale of which does not seem to have happened again in Earth's history. Alternatively, Harvard paleontologist Dr. Stephen Jay Gould, in his best-selling book on the Burgess Shale, Wonderful Life, states that the find's significance lies most in its pointing to the need to conceive of new evolutionary processes. Is evolution, in essence, an unpredictable, unlimited experiment, or does it have constraints and even a certain inevitability? It might just be a question of emphasis.
Gould, of course, has his good points. Now, I wouldn't say he's wrong, but I think he's probably wrong in emphasis. But that's the kind of a man we want. We want a man who perhaps does overstep the mark somewhere or other.
Dr. Tom Clark, geology professor emeritus at McGill University's Red Path Museum. New finds in Greenland and China in the 80s only made Dr. Gould more insistent in his argument for unlimited change or contingency as the force in evolution.
So if anything, the roster of Burgess peculiar creatures is going to go up, not down.
As a consequence of the new finds, new tools of research, and Gould's insistences, the Cambrian era is today among the most intensely studied intervals in the history of life. How do then animals rise and fall? The history of extinction events, a definite contingency factor, provides an answer. Dr. Douglas Irwin.
Mass extinctions are episodes in which large numbers of taxa in many different groups become extinct in a relatively short interval of time.
Dr. Irwin is curator at the Smithsonian Institution's Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C.
It's certainly possible that these many episodes of heightened extinction during the Cambrian may have eliminated a lot of the organisms of the Burgess Shale at that time.
Life does readapt to major changes or punctuations such as these and re-radiates, so contingency is thus a factor. But another factor, called convergence, suggests something else.
The discovery a few years ago that there was a Jurassic mammal that, for all intents and purposes, was the same as a modern beaver is one indication that there are sort of some ways of making a living in which unrelated organisms will find similar suites of adaptation. It's certainly possible to have convergences at a variety of different levels, and that doesn't actually negate Steve Gould's point about the importance of contingency. These things may be happening at different levels at different times.
New sciences, drawing from complementary fields of paleontology and biology, including gene sequencing, are helping to fill in the picture, showing 1. Animals have a great variety of design but share similarities at a genetic level. 2. Early ranges of animal design were no greater than today's. 3. Unfettered contingency and slow, gradual evolution both give way to complexities and constraints imposed by ecology, competition, chemistry, and other factors. 4. The debates are not over and new finds will be made. Understanding bodes well for the future. Dr. Derek Briggs of Yale University's Peabody Museum.
So we have two lines of evidence now. We have a molecular clock on the one hand, and we have the record of fossil appearances on the other. And those two types of evidence are gradually converging on each other.
These significant fossil finds are at risk from theft and vandalism. and two mutually linked organizations, Parks Canada and the Burgess Shale Geoscience Foundation, provide a large range of protective measures, trained educators, and guides to meet the need. Parks Canada Conservation Officer John Needry.
Some of the protective measures that are currently in place include, number one, controlled access. The public can only visit the site with a licensed guide. And for any scientific research, special permits are required.
Burgess Shale Geoscience Foundation spokesperson, Randall Robertson.
It's a very good working relationship. We work with parks to make sure that everybody that is involved in anything we do is aware that it's a World Heritage Site.
Scientists from around the world have been coming to study the Burgess Shale fossils for over a century and having experiences such as these.
It's stunning when you see a fossil for the first time since it was buried 500 million years ago.
This gives you a feeling of a very privileged moment.
All summer long, these World Heritage Site fossils await your own encounter in the company of helpful, knowledgeable guides. Contact Parks Canada to learn more. Contributors were Dr. Tom Clark and Dr. Stephen J. Gould, courtesy of CBC Ideas, Dr. Douglas Irwin, courtesy of the Smithsonian Institution, Dr. Derek Briggs, courtesy of the Peabody Museum at Yale University, John Needry of Parks Canada, and Randall Robertson of the Burgess Shale Geoscience Foundation. The Burgess Shale story is sponsored by Parks Canada and the Friends of Banff Park Radio.